You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and sharing your passion. My name is Dennis Truffin, and I'm here to help you create freedom in your time, money, and work for the long-term growth and power of YouTube. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about YouTube thumbnails are more important than your video. So we're going to be talking about click-through rate, impressions, traffic sources, and multiple thumbnails, and of course, why YouTube thumbnails are more important than your video.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Truffin.
So before we get into the main topic of today's episode, one thing I did want to mention, and I'm planning on doing a full episode about this as well, is, you know, AI with creating YouTube content. And AI is like obviously a big buzzword, and I do use AI a little bit, but not to like some extent that some content creators are talking about. But the reason I wanted to mention this is that recently Google has their own AI platform called Gemini. And it is a cost, I think, to do like certain versions of it. And then there's like a free version. But they did release a certain version of Gemini that is like YouTube kind of focused, which is really, really cool. And so I tested it out. Let me go click on this really quick and see what it was called. So it's Gemini, at least as of this recording, Gemini 2.0 Flash Thinking Experimental with Apps, which is reasoning across YouTube, Maps, and Search. And my personal experience from this has been pretty great, honestly. And obviously, because they're really using YouTube as a source of information, and that's where I'm posting a lot of my content, it has given me some really great data. And just the preliminary things that I've been testing out is it's helping me even more with understanding my YouTube channel. It knows my YouTube channel. It actually understands what I'm trying to accomplish on all the different YouTube channels I run. And then it helps me better with like the titles, the tags, if I wanted to focus on tags, the best descriptions I can make for the videos when I explain what I'm trying to do. And then also kind of gathering some data points for even research on like what to make for the future as well too. So as I keep testing it out, as I keep running around with it, I will do a full video or podcast, I should say, about this. But I just wanted you to know that if you are either A, already using Gemini, look for that option. Or if you haven't, and you're looking at different AIs to utilize, check out that one. Because as a content creator on YouTube, it has been pretty incredible to see the results. And one of my favorite things that I did with Gemini was I was creating some community posts. And I was like talking about like how I wanted the post to look and like help it structure it. And then I mentioned in the post that I wanted to recommend a video from my channel, and Gemini already was able to go find the link to that video and provide it for me. So I didn't even have to go search for it, which was also really, really cool too. So just something to kind of start, you know, running those gears on and start looking at that option as a AI play, because Gemini can also do other things outside of the main YouTube search stuff. There's like a couple other styles for it as well. So if you want to check it out too, definitely be my guest, and I will again create a whole podcast episode in the future once I kind of get my hands a little bit more wet with it and see how those videos perform, because I'm kind of tracking those videos that were more Gemini focused SEOing than just my own SEOing skills. So with that all being said, let's get into today's show. All right, so YouTube thumbnails are more important than your video. And I wanted to really emphasize that as the title, because this is without a doubt probably one of the most important things to talk about. And I think it's going to stand true since I've been doing YouTube, especially when it comes to like search-based content, and then even with other content creators. And the reason this is the case is because YouTube thumbnails are like the billboard to your content. And if people are not clicking on your billboard or your thumbnails, they're not going to know how good your video is. So it doesn't matter if it's the best video. Like, you could literally make the best video in the entire world, like, you know, production-wise, audio-wise, content-wise, and if your thumbnail is terrible or not, you know, worthy of people wanting to click on, it doesn't matter how good it is. And so I would say my experience has been that most people tend to really focus in on the production value and the value that they put in their video, which is great. I do still recommend that. And when it comes to the thumbnail, they kind of just haphazardly, you know, put something together and then throw it up, because they're probably at that point already exhausted, already kind of done with the process, because it can get a little grueling, right? When you go through hours and hours of creating content, whether it's from research to recording to post-production, and then you get to the thumbnail and then you kind of just want to get it done with, right? So that's a big thing that I see from a lot of people. Obviously, one of the easiest ways to combat that would be to do thumbnails before you make the video, which I know for some people seems a little backwards, but I would say it actually has yielded better results for most people than if you wait to do the thumbnail until afterwards. So if you start thinking about, hey, what is this thumbnail going to look like? What is the competition in the space? What are those thumbnails looking like? You know, and for the content that we talk about here, we're always really focused on the search-based content, not the videos that get viral or go onto the homepages that people like, you know, are shocked face and all that stuff. That's not the things that we really focus on. And so it's still important to pay attention ahead of time of like, what is my thumbnail going to look like? You know, how is this going to work for the audience that I'm trying to reach? What does it say on the thumbnail? Are there words? Are there images? Is there a person on there? Is there a phone image? Is there, you know, a desktop image? Like, what kind of stuff is on there? Because all those things matter. So let's think about them beforehand and then get into the production side or the, you know, recording side of this whole process. Now, I will say too, always go based off your data. We talk about that all the time here on the podcast, that even if I'm saying something or other people are saying something when you're like doing a lot of research on YouTube, always go off of your data, because your data is going to tell you everything you need to know about your YouTube channel. Because I could say, hey, having, you know, 5 words or less on your thumbnail is going to be like gold. But I've seen YouTube channels that succeed really, really well, and they like plaster their thumbnails with a bunch of words. And you would think otherwise, that, hey, this doesn't work because the rule of thumb is less than 5 on a thumbnail, or less than 2 or 3 or whatever the rule of thumb is. I think it's 3. But nonetheless, they're breaking the rule and somehow they're making it work. And so that's why it's always, always important, whether you're hearing my advice or you're listening to other people or watching other people, always go based off of your data to know that if something is working. So give it a shot. Try these things that we talk about, but then always do the back end research and seeing how it's actually performing for you. So these are, you know, again, just things that we want to talk about and go through. So for, I would say, the majority of people, the biggest thing to do is to really start building out templates when it comes to your thumbnails. Really start understanding, okay, what is the general vibe that I want to give off? Now, I know for a long time there was on YouTube where you wanted your thumbnails to be very identifiable by, you know, just certain things, like maybe your business logo or something that's maybe your face all the time. And that can still ring true to some capacity, especially when it comes to like your face and people connecting with you and building out what works best and being very mindful. I know with one of my main channels that I work on, I really hit the nail on the head with certain styles, and I still test out things from time to time. So I'm not like, hey, figured it all out and nothing's going to ever change. But I have figured out certain patterns that work really well, regardless of the topic on the video and like where the images are, where the phone is, if I'm having a phone app that I'm talking about, or the wording or the letters or the colors. And so for me, I would say the biggest thing, because I do mainly tutorial based on one of my channels, is that I really want to emphasize the brand over everything else. Because if I'm trying to teach somebody how to use a particular app, right, and they either already have seen the app or they know the brand, that's what I want them to pay attention to first. So usually the text will be the similar color. I have a little like strip of, I call it a bar strip, on the side of the thumbnail where it's that same color of the brand on the opposite end. And then usually a screenshot from that particular app as well, when I can find a really good quality one. And so I've found different ways, but I didn't get to that instantaneously. It like took years to kind of get to that point of like testing out different things and seeing what worked, the font style, like I said, the font color, just everything that kind of comes along with it. And so my suggestion is always look at your data on your best performing thumbnails and ask yourself, what is it about these thumbnails? Sometimes it could mainly be the title, but there is something in the thumbnail that maybe is grabbing people's attention to then look at the title, right? And so pay attention to those things. Maybe look at your top 10 or 15 and say, what's the most common factor between all of these? Is it the style? Is it the background, right? Because maybe it's the background that's catching people's attention. Maybe it's the color of the text. Maybe it's your face. Maybe it's, you know, celebrity's face if you're doing some celebrity content. Or again, maybe the brand is really large and you're like, okay, that makes sense. So you can extrapolate this data to then really pay attention. So there's this thing called click-through rate, which we talk about from time to time here as well. So click-through rate is the amount of people that have seen your thumbnail from impressions, which we'll talk about as well, and that have clicked through the video, click through the thumbnail to get to the video. Now, there is like ranges of what's like average on YouTube with click-through rates. And again, this is really something where I'm like, just look at where you're at and want to improve from there. Because if you say, hey, the average YouTube channel gets 8% click-through rate, well, honestly, that's just a random number that gets thrown out there because your thumbnail click-through rate is going to be so different from everybody else's. So just wherever you're at, whether you want to look at your 28-day average or your 90-day, which I would probably more so recommend, go from there. Use your 90-day average and say, how am I going to improve 1% on this? Because 1% improvement can have a huge implication on how many views you're going to be getting into your channel, because you can look at your impressions that you get. And especially for a lot of smaller content creators and on YouTube, they have this feeling that YouTube doesn't care about them or that YouTube doesn't promote them. And I would always tell people that this is false. You can actually see this directly. So I'm actually going to go into YouTube Studio from my end, but you could just walk through this at a later date when you're not driving, hopefully, and be able to kind of go through this. So in analytics, there is the content tab that you can see on the channel analytics. So there's overview, and then the next thing next over after that is content. And when you click on there, you can see how many impressions you have. So again, ideally, you want to go over the last 90 days and see where you're at. So on one of my channels, I'm just looking at this. Our impressions over a 3-month time period was 6.3 million views on just seeing the thumbnail, not views on the video, just views of the thumbnail. And that's huge, right? That's letting us know, hey, YouTube is showcasing this thumbnail out to a lot of people, all the thumbnails on my videos, all thousands of videos that we have on there out to the universe of YouTube. And then the amount of clicks that we actually got from that 6.3 million was 1.6 million views. So out of 6.3 million, we got, sorry, out of 6.3 million impressions, we got 1.6 million views, which means we had an average click-through rate of about 16.2%, I believe it was. Yeah, 16.2. I was just looking at it now. And what that tells me is that, hey, we are achieving what we want because we're improving from where we were before. At one point, we were at like 14% and we're like, hey, how can we improve 1 or 2% more? And we were looking at our statistics. We were looking at our data to be able to make really good decisions on what's working and what's not. We would, again, like I said, test little things out. Even if we found a really good formula, every once in a while, we would actually do like a really crazy outlandish style just to see if that one maybe takes us into a new route that can increase that percentage as well too. So here are some really, really fun things when it comes to really digging into your data with YouTube. And this is the nerdy part. This is why you're listening to me when it comes to this, because I'm a data person. And this is about traffic sources from your YouTube impressions and your click-through rate on YouTube. The click-through rate that you see is actually lying to you on YouTube. And it's not that YouTube is trying to lie to you. It's not actually lying to you, but it is lying as far as what you're seeing and what's really happening in the background. And what I mean by this is in the advanced mode of analytics on YouTube, you can actually see your click-through rate from different traffic sources. And so if you click into the advanced mode or click on see more when you're in the background of your analytics, there is a section called the breakdown. And in the breakdown, there's one option that says traffic sources. And this is where you get to see a little bit more. And it can be a little overwhelming, honestly, at first when you kind of get into there, because it's like, hey, I don't really understand a lot of this stuff. And totally great. As you keep kind of going in there, you're going to get more familiar. Just like as if when you first started driving, you had no idea what to do with most things that were going on. And then now you can almost drive with your eyes closed. Don't do that, though. And so I go into my traffic sources and I'm still at my 90 days. And I just want to kind of express some things because I know most people are just listening, right? So the click-through impression rate that I talked about earlier, my CTR is 16.2 as a channel overall. But I have certain intents when I make content, right? Intent. I can't even say that right. Intent when I make content. I want my videos to go through search more than browse, more than anything else, because when I pay attention to where my thumbnails are being shown, that's where I want them to be. I want them to be in search because those people have a tendency to stay longer in the video and have a better reason to go through my affiliate links and to stay till the end and watch the next video, right? And so when I go in here and I dig into the analytics, this is really fun. So they have a bunch of different traffic sources, like whether it's the end screen, channel pages, playlists, YouTube browse, or suggested videos, they show you the percentages when your thumbnail is shown up in those sections individually. And this is really cool. So in my last 90 days, I'm gonna go over my top five. So number five here is my channel pages, which means if somebody like clicked on my YouTube channel and then clicked on my videos and like started looking through my library of content, this is the lowest of the five here. my average click-through rate is 0.7%. And this makes sense, right? You get somebody that sees a lot of your videos all at once and it could be overwhelming. They don't click anything, or they just wanted to kind of get an idea of what the channel is all about. So 0.7%, nothing fancy there. The next one is called playlists. So YouTube sometimes puts together playlists, or even my playlists that I set up that people find enticing and want to click on. Those are 2.9%, okay? And then the next one is probably the most common one that most people really yearn for. But again, we don't really teach that here because we want to focus on the evergreen content. And this is with browse feature. This means when somebody opens up their homepage on YouTube, your thumbnail shows up somewhere on this homepage. And this is usually for people that are wanting to showcase something or get, you know, somebody to, you know, to click on something that's, you know, in the moment or like newsworthy at the time. And that's not really what our content's all about. So in this section, our click-through rate is 3.5%. So a pretty low, I would say, click-through rate for my own channel. But again, remember, our average in the last 90 days was 16.2. So I hope you kind of have an idea of where we're going here, right? So you can see these numbers are increasing percentage-wise, but this is still pretty low, 3.5%. But again, these video thumbnails are getting showcased to people that maybe aren't really caring about how to do a particular thing in a particular app, because we get very specific with how we make our content, right? So the next one here is suggested videos. So this is the section where there are videos on the side of a YouTube channel that's currently playing, whether it's your own video or somebody else's video, and your thumbnail showing up on the side there being suggested. So in this one, our click-through rate is 4.1%. So a little bit better than the browse feature. And so what that's telling us is like, okay, sometimes we'll show up on that side panel there, and our thumbnails are, again, are a little bit enticing for people to click on and want to watch. And again, channel average is 16.2 in the last 90 days. And the first four that we talked about were either 4.1% or lower on this. So what do you think this means? I feel like Dora the Explorer, like giving you a question and then giving you a second to answer. So this means that YouTube search, which is the highest traffic source, has a much higher click-through rate than the channel as a whole, because that's where our highest percentage is. That's where the most views come in. Overall, that's just where most of everything comes in for us, because that's our intent. That's what we want. We want this more than anything else. And what's really cool, before I give you this number, is that you can actually also get this information for each video individually. And where the reason that's important is because sometimes we see the click-through rate on a particular video and say, ah, that thumbnail must be bad. But when you go into the traffic sources, if you have a certain intent, you can make sure that you don't accidentally change out the thumbnail if it's working in the place that you want it to work. And what I mean by that is you can say, hey, I want my click-through rate to be really good in YouTube search. And if it's doing really well in YouTube search and you accidentally change that thumbnail, but you didn't look at your data, you actually can screw yourself over by not having it work in the right spot. Because with YouTube search, it can take a while for it to really build up, so you can see the effect of this. And I'm gonna show you this, because as somebody who's been doing this kind of content for, you know, years now, even in the last 90 days, this is how big of a shift it is between YouTube search and my overall channel when it comes to click-through rate. All right, so again, overall channel in the last 90 days is 16.2% click-through rate. On YouTube search, it is 21.8%, pretty much 22% if we want to round up, which we'll do. So at 22%, that is huge, right? That is almost a little over 1 in 5 times my thumbnails are shown in YouTube search. In the last 90 days, somebody is clicking on the video. That is massive, right? And that's a bigger shift than the overall channel, which means if I don't go into my data and I'm thinking maybe, oh, I'm not doing it right or something's wrong as an overall channel, this will nullify that, right? It'll say, hey, no, if you want YouTube videos to be in search, you're doing a good job. 21% or 22% is really up there in click-through rate versus your overall channel. Even at 16.2, which is great, it's really important to note these things, because again, we're looking at a channel overall, but if I looked at like videos that I just released a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, and I see them at like 8 or 9%, and I'm like, well, but my channel is like at 16%. These are not good numbers. And I look at the traffic sources and I'm like, oh, okay, so the search is actually really good. But right now YouTube is testing it out in browse and suggest and in channel pages and all these things. And so it's kind of affecting the numbers to not be as accurate when it comes to where I really want it to be. And so for this, to me, is so vital, because if you do want, you know, your views to come from browse, you can also make that decision on there too. But we teach about really search engine optimization kind of content. So I really just want to be in YouTube search every single day, because I'd rather get 22% click-through rate than 4 or 5%. Even if the numbers are bigger on the views for browse, I'm not trying to get the most views. I'm trying to get the right views. And so this is why it's so important to go into your data and to really, really pay attention to these things, because that's going to make a huge difference. That's going to make a huge important factor for you when it comes to like going through this process. So when we talked about earlier that a lot of people put the thumbnail as like the back burner, the last thing that they do, this is why you got to pay attention, right? Because if, let's say you're getting 5% on average on your channel, and then if you're trying to get content into search and your search click-through rate is at 2%, lower than your channel average, then it's not working. And we got to change that up, right? We got to put in the effort. And here's the thing. You could be really great at video editing or post or recording production or, you know, planning a script. And maybe your graphics on your thumbnails are just not your skill set. Even when you tried, even when you've took the time to learn, that's okay. Outsource that. That is probably one of the, I don't want to say cheapest, but that's probably one of the easiest things to outsource when possible, because it's not as expensive as somebody editing for hours on end. So one, I have a resource in the show notes always to go check out our resource page. And in that resource page, there is a gentleman named Thumbnail Wiz, and he's a guy that I recommend to everybody. I don't get any affiliate from him, but he will give you a nice little bonus for using me to reach out to him. And so that way you can actually have somebody that you can connect with. You let him know what you're looking for, what your video is about, and then he can make thumbnails for you. So you can go that route. It can definitely work that way. My only concern when it comes to outsourcing those things is that if you're not building some kind of template, then that can be a little strenuous when it comes to kind of building out a structure. So if you do decide to outsource, I would recommend that you are outsourcing with having kind of an idea of what things can look like, and or gathering your data on the back end from your best performing thumbnails and saying, what's the most common thing? And let me kind of build on those. So when you ask, you know, the person that's making your thumbnails, hey, can you kind of stay some way consistent with certain things in the thumbnail, whether it's the font size or the images or whatever. That way you can kind of build a template, so that way one day, even if that person's not working with you, you can use those as a template to just change things out. Because for me personally, I built it in such a way that my thumbnails are almost too easy. And I say that in a nice way, where it's like, I don't have to put in as much time now because I put in the time over the years. I mentioned that it took me years to get to where I'm at. Because I remember I could look at thumbnails that I made 2 years ago and I'm like, oh man, I see some big changes that I've made over the last couple of years. But you know, it took me a long time to get to this point to make it a lot easier, but it took a lot of work to get there. So it's like, hey, you could do the short-term thing and just kind of, you know, do what you want now, or you can and put in the hard work now and make things easier for you down the road. And I think that stands true all the time from all of my experience with running a business, is that if you do the hard things now, it becomes easier down the road. And the same thing works with thumbnails. Like for me now, it's become a little bit of an easier system for me, even when I do test out things differently on my thumbnails. But as a whole, across the board, it works really well when you have a system in place for your thumbnails. And here's the best part. Not even several months ago, all YouTube channels have access now to uploading multiple thumbnails on their videos. So if you're somebody who's still in the testing phases of like, hey, what's going to work, what's not going to work, or you're like me, where maybe you have a really good template on your thumbnails and you want to kind of experiment still a little bit, they have the opportunity with every video to upload up to 3 thumbnails. Now, you don't have to do 3 every single time. You could do 2 if you want to as well. And what they'll do is, over a course of 2 weeks, they will showcase those thumbnails back and forth between different audiences and be able to track which one's going to perform better based off of watch time, because that's important to YouTube. And so at the end of that 2 weeks, one of 2 things is going to happen. One, there's not enough data to support which one would work better, so you're just going to have to kind of choose from there. But more than likely, what's going to happen is they're going to say, hey, this video thumbnail outperformed this other one, and so we're going to make this the more important thumbnail and switch it out to the primary and only thumbnail that's going to showcase from now on. And what's really nice is that after that 2 weeks, it just does it automatically, so you don't have to go back in if you forgot to go check on it, or you can go into the video backend and just automatically have it switched over to that new thumbnail if you're already seeing results in a short period of time. So sometimes you can get results within a couple of days and be like, oh, it's clear that one of these thumbnails is way better than the other. And sometimes it can be a very close call until the 2 weeks to see which one actually performs the best. So you have opportunity to really see the data by allowing YouTube to test out these thumbnails for you. But I wouldn't put it on as the last thing that we're going to do, because it is the thing that actually gets people to click on a video. The thumbnail is the billboard. The thumbnail is the thing that's so important. And I will express this in a way from my experience that I've seen and watched some content about with Netflix. If you ever go on Netflix, you might notice that sometimes video, like movies or TV shows that you like to watch, their thumbnails will change. Like even Netflix changes their thumbnails when something isn't working well. And they understand that they're also creating billboards for people to click on movies and videos and TV shows and all that stuff. So for Netflix to know how important it is, that also gives us the opportunity to realize that this is that important for us, that in order for somebody to see the best videos that we can ever create, we get to create really appealing thumbnails. And if we're not somebody who's well-versed in thumbnails, one, we can improve, watch videos on YouTube about how to improve, keep staying consistent, look at your data, see which ones are working the best and keep moving from there. Break the rules sometimes. Don't always follow every single, you know, rule of thumb when it comes to what you should be doing on the thumbnails, but just keep up with the data when you do test out different things, so that way you can know if something is working for you. Or if the thing about rule of thumbs does apply to you, which is like, hey, keep it under 3 words on the thumbnail. All right, hey, I tried 10 words on the thumbnails and those didn't work. Let's go back to the rule of thumb, right? But maybe those 10 words do work for you, and that's great. And you get to stay consistent with that because you're paying attention to the data for it. So again, all of that is going to be really important to get those views, to get the continuing growth, because if no one's clicking on your thumbnails, no one's going to watch your videos, no one's going to subscribe, no one's going to know that you're there. And I can promise you that if you look at your backend, YouTube is showcasing your videos to other people by virtue of looking at the impressions that they are giving out there into the universe of YouTube by either your overall channel or your individual videos. So you know that they're being seen by other people, even if people are not clicking on them, which is why paying attention to the click-through rate, but paying attention to the impressions and diving deeper in is always going to be an advantage to you over everybody else because you know your data. And like I mentioned earlier, if you're somebody who doesn't really care to pay attention or doesn't feel like thumbnails are going to be your area, check out the resource in the show notes down below to contact our guy when it comes to creating thumbnails for you. It's, again, probably one of the cheapest outsourcings that you could do on the platform anyways. So I would probably go that route as well too. But any other resources that we talk about or that we utilize are always going to be in the show notes as well for you as well too. So if you want to check them out, you could definitely do so, though sometimes do support out the channel as well too to help us continue to make more content. So until next time, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize, again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.